So we're on the very bottom of Dal and Rebbe's. Two lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chia, two lines from the bottom on Dal and Rebbe's. Just about to turn the page. So, Rabbi Chia, Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bai, V'lama less none, why don't we have Amrina, why doesn't the Mishnah say Pa'amayim, two other Keshahin Chayvim? Okay. What category? Martin, tell us what we're talking about. We're talking about.
So unclear. In Bavli, it would have said Bayi Reb Chia Amar Reb Yirmiyah. Here's his Bayi in the end.
It also would have had an introduction of what part of the Mishnah we're talking about. We're talking about the Mishnah, thanks to the Masifta. We're talking about the Mishnah of Maisa Behemon Kalvon. We said a case, sometimes you're Chayvin Maisa Behemon Patan Kalvon, sometimes you're Pastor Maisa Behemon Chayvin Kalvon. Two cases. There were two other cases the Mishnah could have told us. So he says, why didn't the Mishnah teach us two other cases? Sometimes you're chayv in both Maisa Behema, and you're also chayv in this Kalbon. And Pamim Shehein Ptur Mizeh Mizeh, and there's certain times you're chayv, you're pat, rather, in both the Maisa Behema and the Kalbon. So Heyach Avida, where do we find such cases? Let's skip the parentheses to four lines down from the top. So, Chalko Nechasim, we're talking about again where a father died, he left an estate over for his children. So let's say they divided the property. Velo Chalko Behema, they did not divide the animals. The animals still stayed in the estate, and everything else was divvied up. The din there is Chayavim Bezel Bezel, the Chayavim both. Why? The Chayavim the Kalbon, because they each now have the property, have all the money for themselves, so individuals are Chayav. The father's not paying on their behalf, if you will, so they're Chayavim the Kalbon. But they're also chayav in the Maisa Behemah because there's no shutvus. Since they didn't divide the Behemah up yet, it still remains in the estate as one entity, so you're chayav in Maisa Behemah. And then, let's say, Chalku Behemah v'lo Chalku Esen Nechasim, they divide up the animals amongst the brothers, but they did not buy the property. So in this case, Ptur Mizeh Mizeh, they put their Maisa Behemah because Maisa Behemah now is Lakuach, which said if you buy it, and getting a Yerusha from a parent or anybody else is viewed as a purchase. And when you purchase an animal, that's exempt from Maisa Behemah, we said yesterday. And they're also potter in the Kalbon, since all the money still remains in the estate. When they pay the Machzor Shekel for them, it's as if the father's paying it as a Matana on their behalf. When giving a Matana, you're exempt. So again, the Gemara wants to know why these two cases were not mentioned. So I'm not sure the Gemara ever answers it. The Gemara goes on to say, further qualify this statement. I'm a Rebbe Mana. I was talking to my brother last night at Al Chasana, my brother-in-law who's writing and who wrote already a number of Svarim on Yerushalmi, so I got to ask him some of Yerushalmi questions. So he once heard, I think, that Rav Mana might be Rava. He wasn't so convinced that Rav Mana, who we see here all the time, I think he was saying this might be a reference to Rava. He wasn't so convinced that that's true. I took his word. I have no response to that. I don't know anything about it. But either way, it's Amar Rav Mana. Hada de'at Amar. That which you just said about divvying up the animals versus divvying up the rest of the property. B'shelo ha'isa behema rov. Only when the animals were not the majority. That when they divvied up the animals, that they're pater ma'isa behema. And then they're also pater in the kalbon. About im ha'isa behema rov. If most of the animals are rove, hain ikra nechasim. So imagine most of the animals are rove. Most of the property, let's say 75% is animals, and 25% is money and land, let's say. So if they divvy up the animals only, nothing else, it's viewed as if everything was divvied up, even though they didn't actually divide up the money in the land. But since most of it is animals, and they divided animals, we view that the entire thing was divided. And therefore, in such a case, they'd be put in the Ma'is Behemah, since they all have Behemahs as Lakuach, but they would be Chayiv in this case in paying Machzor Shekel, because you don't view it as if the father's paying on behalf. You view it as if it was divided amongst the different brothers, even though it actually wasn't. But
here it says the opposite.
That's when it's the majority. No.
It says,
That's what he said.
No.
He did say.
No, one second. Let me ask. Did you mean that?
The second sentence. Is what he said.
When you have most of your property's animals, so if they divide the animals up only and nothing else, we view it as if they also divide up the property and the money, since you follow the ikker, and the ikker being the animals.
Here it says that.
Okay, so it's going in a different point. It's going in the first case. I thought it was going in the second case.
Right.
Let's see what it says here. This is talking about Shem Chalko Behema Velo Chalkas Nechasim. So it's a machlokas, I guess. Masifta and Art Scroll, how to read it. Okay. I have to see in the first.
But that says, Beshelo Haita Behema Rov. But
No, that's okay. But it's talking about when that.
Okay, it's probably both true.
They're probably both true.
Yeah.
According to this, is that the Shilkush HaRechasim are not Abeimot. He's saying the Shilkut Abeimot are not the Shilkut.
So he referred to the same case.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're both true, though, probably.
Right, probably, yes.
You always follow the row. The row.
I think they're both right. Because if the way you read it is Amar Amana, that which you said, like what, if you divided the property but not the actual behemoths.
In both cases.
One second. Then you're obligated to cover. But if it was that the behemoths are not the majority, right? If the behemoths were not the majority, then Mistama, you would not be fighting cover. But if it was the rope, then you would have to give a machlis shekel, right? But not a kol. Flip side.
That's what you had, I think, right?
Yeah, I think I think what he's saying is that if the behema was rove, then whether he divided, whether he divided nechassim or he didn't divide nechassim, it goes back to the original case where you have to give one and not give the other.
I don't think that's what it's saying. I think what it's saying is that when they divided the property, meaning there's two criteria, right? It's either the property or the behemoths, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you divide the property but not the behemoths, so then you need to add a korban. And then vice versa, if you did not divide the property but you divided
animals.
The behemoths, then there's no culprit.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Just two criteria.
Right. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, I looked quickly at the side here. The Mepharshim both explain how the art school explains it.
Good comment. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Says the Gemara now, around 8 lines from the top. Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Shammai Boi Mipnei She'asta Kodem Echad. Eitz Amayis Behema Ad Potu Min HaKalbon. So he wanted to know in the case, explaining here, that when the brothers became partners and they didn't divide up the land,
there's
Patma problem, right? So if Nesha sees them called the Mechad Eitzal Maisa Behema, because they became one person in regards to other Mechad, Sheat Potum Na Kalbon, they exempt them from the Kalbon. So this is a question now?
Yeah. Meaning that was my question yesterday. You know, what difference does he make? I mean, they're still having the kalbon. What difference does he make? With Maser Behema goes on the Behema, but kalbon goes on the person. I think that's the question. Hare afal pi sheleinyan Maser Behema atam hachashiv behemot betosefet habayit keilu hen babalot shel adam echad ha'av ומשום כך אינו של שוטרים. זהו רק לחומרה, שמשום כך הן חייבות במשרים, אבל מסברה אין לומר כן לכולה, לעניין קלבון, להחשיב את הסלע שנותנים מתוספת הבית, כאילו אב נותן עבורם ופטורים מן הקלבון, אלא יש להחשיב כשותפים באלמה חיים בקלבון. He doesn't see that. Right, he sees a shutfim.
So he's saying, if we view them as one person in regards to Maisa Behema, to Mechayev the Maisa Behema, we should view them as one person also in regards to being Mechayev Kalbon as well.
No, he's saying the whole thing is we're going lechumra. So in the case of the Behema, you're going lechumra, so you're Mechayev to give Maisa Behema. In the case of the Kalbon, you should also go lechumra and consider them as a separate entity, each one. I think each one. I don't know, because otherwise he wouldn't.
Okay, so let's read this question again. So Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Shammai.
I'm sorry. It's saying. Right, it's going more on one is going on the estate, but on the kalbon it should go on the person, a shutfim, which each one has to give each one.
Should.
What?
Should.
Right.
Should, okay. So we should say again, so by Mibnesha Sisim Kadam Echare Tzemais Behema. So once we made them the one individual, Timchai Mais Behema, at Potum and Akabon, why are you going to exempt them from the Kabon? They should also be obligated to pay the Kalbon. So the response was, Amrle, Lo Shani, he? It's, you don't think there's a difference in the following case? Shehi Nosei and Shehu Nosei Tel Echad. Shlema, that if you give one full seller, which we said was one full shekel, me'ata, you give one full shekel. What's the case of one full shekel? So it's if the father themselves gave it on their behalf.
When you give a seller, it's representing that it's the
that it's not a tumah it's not a two separate pieces of property.
It's one unit.
That's why you give a seller in the form of the same way you were saying the Rebbe said alluded to it. Like the father's still there doing it.
So that's why kalbon is already different. Okay, fine. So that's the difference between the kalbon and the ma'aseh behema. So mi'atas, from that being the case, says the Gemara, afilu chalku, the chazu v'nishnatu, they divided the land, and then they went ahead and repartnered the brothers, they should be chayav v'maiseh behema, upturin m'akabon, they should be chayav v'maiseh behema, because they became one again, and one person's chayav, they should be exempt. And however, our Mishnah says, taninan, in such a case, chayavim b'kalbon u'p'turim in a ma'aseh behema, and there's a kasher. So the Gemara is like such a svara, because it's only when there's such a concept called tusas abayis, which is the way the Gemara calls an estate. So when there's an estate, so you should always be chayav ma'aseh and patim in the kalbon. So why then, when they repartner together, they're putting all the money back into the estate? So why does their Mishnah say, actually, when they go back to the state, they're actually going to be chayav in the kalbon, but patur ma'aseh behema, and the Gemara doesn't have an answer.
So seemingly, that even though you would say that it should be like a trust, that they're putting it back together, self-close-self, it doesn't have that sense of,
right.
Have that, I guess you could say chalos, so it doesn't do that.
Once they've been separated, we view them as individual properties.
Then we look at it as a shady move. Extra
but I think, to me, this whole, that's why yesterday I had a very hard time, because once you are separated, you can't, the father cannot be koneg again this thing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara here thinks he can, but the Mishnah says it can't be. Once you're separated, repartnering.
Father is dead. There's no kinyan by the estate. Who's going to be coining the estate? There's no such a thing. They're already divided. It's an entity that disappeared.
Right. Even if they're masalik, their ownership
doesn't. Then it becomes hacker maybe or something. Right. There's nobody to be coined.
Even if you had an estate, like, think about it. Like even nowadays, right? If you had an estate that was divided amongst siblings, right? You could put it back into as a trust.
But the estate, according to the halacha, there's no estate. There is no such halacha. Something that you have to be kohen is something. There's nothing. There is no.
When you did kohen, the father passed away, and now it's in the state.
Then it's okay because it's still under the father's.
Okay.
But once you divide it already, there has to be somebody you kohen again after you go back together.
Someone has to.
There has to be an end.
Oh, so that's why the Gemara ends up saying no, it doesn't work.
We have
right.
No money. It's not discussion. We're
saying the same thing.
Yeah. That's why the Gemara says
right.
It doesn't work.
Right. Exactly. All right. Weiter.
It says the Gemara now, a few lines from the end of the parak, Rabbi Ba, b'shem Abba bar Rav Huna, he, shnei achim, two brothers, sheyarshu esavim, that they inherited their father's estate, he, shnei gisim, sheyarshu eschamem. It's the same thing as two gisim are really, I think, brother-in-laws, but the same way of saying also son-in-laws who inherit their father-in-law, the same halacha applies. With all the same din of that they're putter in the kalbon, the chayv, and the ma'aseh behema, whether it's two sons or two sons in laws, are all the same halachas. That's all the Gemara is adding. Okay, next piece. It's just like.
So sons in laws are like sons.
That's basically what it's saying, yeah. But interesting how the Gemara calls it as gisin, which I think means brother in laws, as opposed to sons in laws.
It's the other way around. Two brothers who inherited are like brother in laws. It's not the other way around. Not brother in laws are considered like brother.
I'm just making a joke.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So now the Gemara wants to le'echan hayu kabanos. What do you do with the kabanos? Kabanos noflin. Where do they go? What do you do with the funds? So big machlokas, Rabbi Lazer Omer l'nedava. It goes to a nedava. So you use them for Let's keep on your side. Right, Meir Omer Lishkam.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I just have to say, I know it's late. But this would be only in the case that there's no uncles and no other relatives, because the daughters are not... The daughters are not... they're not Yoirish.
Right.
So if the father would have a brother, it would fall before that the sons-in-law. Right.
The Ben comes first, of course. And then...
And then the brother of the niftar.
The brother, and then the father. Is
and
next.
Then the daughters only.
The daughter. So exactly. No, there can't be any other Yorshim.
Right. So it could be any other Yorshim. Very interesting. Okay.
A lot of starting to take that to heart. I wish.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've seen a few things.
Okay. So le'echan hayu kabanos nofel. Where exactly do the kabanos of this extra coin? Where do they fall to? What's it used for? So, Meir Omer Lishkalim. They go with the same fund to the Shkalim. The Shkalim are eventually used for the Karbanot Tzibur. That's where the Shkalim go. Rabbi Lazer Omer L'Nedava. It's used for the Nedava. So, the Nedava was that when the Mizbeach, let's say for that year, you had a bunch of extra funds left, so they would buy Olos, extra Karbanos. They would make a carbon Nedava. They'd have a special carbon. That's where it went to. It was considered extra fund. But it wasn't used for the Iker Karbon Tzibur. And Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer Rikuazav. It was smashed out to like a flat gold, I think. The tzipu, the base of Kodesh Kodashim, was used to put layers down on the Kodesh Kodashim to make it look nice. And Ben Azay Omer Shulchanin Hayu Notlinosam Mischarim, the exchange, money exchange, would take this, they would get to keep the money, they would get paid with this. Because they would end up switching the Gizbarim, the treasurers, the head of the Hekdesh, would end up switching some of the coins with these money exchanges. I'm not sure why. Maybe easier to have the bigger coins instead of so many small coins to get a bigger coin to use. So in the exchange, they'd use these kalbanos to pay off the money exchange. So the money exchange people would be a good business back then, it seemed. A lot of money going around. And then, Hayu not l'nosam b'scharin fine. And the Yeshom, the final opinion here says, l'hotaz d'rachum, no, to fix the roads and other types of needs for the tzarech tzibur. So a few opinions what to do with these kalbanos. Okay, Hajar Alach, Perek Be'echad Bada. We made it through one Perek of Yerushalmi. It's beautiful. Okay, new Perek, new Mishnah. This Mishnah is called...
funny because I see the Yerushalmi that they have there on Zerayim. And each page is like 10 lines.
Yeah, so you look actually in the back of the Sifta.
Right, normally it's like this.
Yeah.
But we now have all these that it's really, look at this.
Well, yeah, just to make it shorter for us. Because if you go according to this one, there's a 50... 60 blot in the Yerushalmi, and ours is 21 blot. Jam it all in there. Okay, so says the new Mishnah, the new Perek. Masnisin, Mitzarfin Shkalim, the Darchonos. You can switch the Shkalim, I think, with larger coins. Right, okay, you could switch them with larger coins. Because it becomes very heavy. You're carrying all these small coins, much easier to take one larger coin. And instead of carrying 100 singles, you take $100 bill. It's much easier. Imagine in terms of metal, it's much lighter to carry one big coin. Kishem shayu shofros b'mikdash, kach yu shofros b'medina. So they used to have these shofros, which is like basically a chauffeur, where they put the money into these, like a tzedakah box. So just like they had those shofros in the base of Mikdash to put the money in, so too these shofros were in different places in the Medina. Now, Bnei Ha'ir... Now, once, let's say the city collected all the machzeh shekel of that particular city, sheshalchu es shekleim, they sent off the machzeh shekel to send it to the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately. V'nignevu o she'avdu, on the way, the shliach had lost it or got stolen from him. Im nisruma ha'chuma, so if he found out it was stolen only after they took the chuma, meaning once the Echad B'Nisan came, and then they started taking the new funds in the Beis HaMikdash, if after that point it became aware that the money was stolen or lost from the shliach, the din is nishban legizbarim. This shliach was a shomer, different dinim of different types of shomerim, he was a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is a person who watches something for free. So he says to this to be the shomer, I'm going to be the messenger to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. He's not getting paid for this. So if it gets stolen or lost from him, he's pater. So
what does it mean? What is he talking about?
So I believe when they start taking the funds, when they start using the new funds, the machzeh shekel.
But we said that it has to arrive there by the 15th of Nisan.
No, that's when they start announcing, but not necessarily receive then.
Right. So they have to get it by. They announce it at in Adar, right?
Mm-hmm.
and they're supposed to get it by the 15th of Nisan.
By the first of Nisan.
By the first of Nisan. So what's saying here is that there was a period between the Gneva and the time they advised. Is that what it is?
The Gneva and the time that they...
Because normally...
He was delayed. Or he was either delayed or okay. He didn't realize...
It's 45 days cycle, right? From Adar Aleph to...
Yeah.
45 days. No.
Adar Aleph?
Till Nisan Aleph. Aleph Nisan is when you have to give
30 days.
Oh, I thought it was 15 days.
So again, it gets announced on the 15th to start bringing... No, the 1st it gets announced. No, the 15th.
No,
the 15th it gets announced.
The 1st it gets...
No, again, no. Bechab Adar Mashmin Al Shkalm. The 1st it gets announced. The 15th they start having...
They start forcing people.
No, 25th they start forcing. 15th they have Shulchanos, so it's now available. 25th they start forcing you, and it needs to be there by Echad B'Nisan. I guess this case was the guy got a little bit delayed. And Echad B'Nisan came, they started taking money for the new Karbanos, and then the guy said, I lost the money from this city. What am I supposed to do? If he got lost from a shomer chinam or got stolen, he's exempt. He doesn't have to pay the lost money, but he has to make a shvua that he didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't poshea. If he's poshea, if he's negligent, he completely wasn't doing the proper shmir, he's responsible. Who does he make the shvua to? Says the Mishnah, he's nishba'in, again, im nishma chuma, if they already start taking the funds, nishba'in the gizbarim. He has to make a shvua to the gizbarim, because once the treasury starts taking the money, there he has to make a shvuah to them. Vimlav, if they haven't yet started taking the money from the new funds, then Nishban Levnei Yir, he has to make a shvuah to the Bnei Yir. He says, I don't have to pay you back because it wasn't my fault. It was stolen or lost from me. Uvnei Yir Shokun Tachten, and then the city people of the city have to take a second round of Machzis Shekel. And then let's say Nimtzu O Sheikh Zirun Haganavim. Let's say they found the original coins that were lost. Or they were returned. What's the din? Says the Mishnah, Eilu ve'elu shkalim vein olin lehen l'shana haba. So now you have double portion from that city. Both of them are considered machzis shekel, and you can't save it for the next year. Say, oh, I paid machzis shekel twice. Let me cover it for my next year's requirement. No. All it's a double payment for this year, and next year you have to still pay a new payment of machzis shekel.
Like tmura.
Right.
I'm sure the IRS doesn't mind if you prepay them.
Right.
Okay.
Says the Gemara. The Yasu also in Margolios. So when talking about switching the coins to a larger coin to make the travel easier, so Gemara suggests maybe you should make them to Margolios, pearls, gems, which are a little bit lighter, easier to carry than metal coins. Shema Tazil Margolios Venimsa Hektesh Mafsid. Perhaps the jewels, the stones, are going to go down in value and you're going to lose a lot of Machzis Shekel. I guess the metal is a little bit more stable, the coinage. I guess currencies, that always stays the same, the currency. It's the commodities that exchange, that change up and down, so you can't change it, exchange it for any of these types of stones. Kahi the datinan that we learn in the Mishnah, taman there, v'kula niftam b'kesef v'shav kesef. Everything that you're allowed to redeem, where's this Mishnah coming from? B'choros, okay. You could redeem anything with money or with shav kesef, something that has value to it. Chutz mishkalim, shkalim is the only thing you cannot redeem onto something that's not a money. Only from money to money, but you can't do it on shava kesef. Vein podim b'kalim, you can't redeem these things on kalim, onto utensils, onto clothing. V'amar Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak, shema yazilu ha-kalim, because perhaps the kalim might lose value. V'nimitza ha-hektesh mafsir, turns out that the hektesh gets lost. So af hacha here too also nami shema tazi hamargalios that the pearls might lose the value of nimta hektish mafs and you're gonna lose out. So you see, shkalm is the only type of din where you cannot be poded onto another chayfes, only onto other money. Okay, masnisa betakin chadasin. I guess this is where the parish on the side takin chadasin gets its name from. The Gemara says the betakin chadasin. The new taklin is shkalin, chadasin is chadash new, the new coins, the new machzis shekel of the year. So what's this referring to here? Which stage of the Gemara?
Okay, shaninu b'mishnatenu k'shem shayu shofrot.
Having those shofrots down.
Right,
exactly, stuck in boxes.
That's smart ones.
So the, why not?
These are smart ones.
These are smart ones.
This was in the shape of shofar.
Exactly.
It became a thing, so you cannot put your hands inside.
Right. But you just empty it out. Maybe they're stable.
The other side, but probably it was steady.
Now even our money's got to be like, you have these big paper things, you know what I mean? Then there's little tiny coins, you step it in. So you can't even get the money then, so it wasn't the mice to have money, the bills then. Everything was coins.
You roll it up and stick it in.
Yeah.
Okay, so the din is, regarding these shofros, masnisa betakin chadasin, that refers to the new for the new coins of that year, you would put into these shofros. But taklan adikin, old shkalim lo bada, so that they wouldn't have shofros for those. So let's say you didn't pay off a previous year. You missed a year or two. A machas shekel. You can't put all the chiyuvim into those shofars. The shofars were strictly for the new that year's machas shekel. Old ones cannot be placed in these shofars. Vitani Cain also taught atikin v'mikdash v'in atikin v'medina. If you have old coins to pay, you have to go to the base of mikdash to pay them. But you cannot pay them in the tzedakah boxes that were found in the rest
that
of the
Medina. That was a knas to make sure people paid? Is that what it is? They forced you to go there? Is that what it is?
I thought maybe it had to do with the fact that that year had to be exclusively those year's coins. You just cannot knas. You can't use old coins. You're mixing years together.
I think it's very lemaisa because it's kilu, like you're mixing funds that are designated for different purposes. So if someone goes to the mikvah and decides to put his annual membership in there, it's great for the mikvah fund, but it hurts the operating costs of the shul.
Throwing off the numbers. I thought it had to do with we had to have everyone involved for this year in equal chelik. If I put double funds in it, I'm having an extra chelik. It shouldn't really be. It's not fair to anybody else. Not because it throws off the numbers, but this.
I would think from an accounting standpoint.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't see a svar here. I'm just trying to make it
out. בעצמו, כדי לאפשר חייבי קורבנות שיש להם לטרוח בהם עד ירושלים.
אז אתה תירך את הכנס. Okay, very good. Very good, okay. Okay, let's go further now. Then the Gemara says, the next halacha, again, nothing to do with the previous one. Masnisin, so our Mishnah, which is talking about the Shavuos. So that when he gets lost, when the money gets lost or stolen, he makes a shvu on the shomer. He's off the hook, yeah.
That's the other one. But there's another one. America tov she'achen hayu ma'amidim shnei shofrot v'chol yulvei l'chad eshkalim l'chad eshkalim l'chad eshananim. Mistava shehem pirush at ha'gemara k'echad min ha'prashim ha'chidim. So one of them holds it's a knas, and one holds it's that it's not.
Okay, all right.
But the one that holds is not a knas, what would be the reason? What would this
They had two shofros, like you said, but they want to mix up.
Different accounts.
Yeah, different accounts.
Exactly.
I like Yerushalmi. Everything is double. Well,
you could anything you want to say. You could say
everything.
Choose your flavor.
Okay. So Gemara says now, Masnis in our Mishnah, which said that if the shliach who was supposed to send all the money from the city to the base of Mikdash, if he loses the money or he gets stolen from him, he's off the hook. He just takes a shvu and he's fine. Says the Gemara, Masnis in b'shomer chinam, aval b'shomer sacher lo. The Shomer Sacher who gets hired to watch it. So he has, since he gets paid, he's a lot more responsible. If it gets lost or stolen, he actually has to pay back the money. So that's not the case. He doesn't get off the hook with a simple Shavua. So I'm a Rebbe Abba, Vafilu Tamar, even if you want to say our mission is a Shomer Sacher, you could explain the mission as follows. Nignavu Ballistim Mizuyonim. You came, they were stolen, not with the regular person, but people who came with weapons. That wasn't expected. A Shomer Sacher is not expected to watch over the money or the people with weapons. Exactly, his onus. Avdu wasn't mean Anu. Avdu was lost. It wasn't lost because he was just not paying attention so much. But it was Kemishita Shatava B'Sfinas Abayam. It was like a boat it sunk at sea, which was a complete onus. So sometimes perhaps it was lost because of an onus. So in such cases, even a Shomer Sacher would be exempt if it was an extreme case of Gneva and Aveda. Okay, next piece here. Amar Rabbi Yosti, Rabbi Simon, Asya, Kemand Amar. Our Mishnah goes according to the opinion that says, Tormin al hagavoy, you could take chuma, you could separate, you could use the funds on that which was already collected, val ha'asid legavos, and that which is going to be collected in the future. So, So let's say the funds that have already been collected but haven't yet reached the base of Mikdash. Or the money that hasn't even been collected yet, but that's going to be collected, even those are included as part of the Truma. Why does that have to be the case? How do we know that? Our Mishnah is learning that way?
We'll tell you in a second. It's a long, long comment.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So I think the point is the fact that...
I thought the other way around. I thought that if they already were Tormim and it was stolen afterwards, then he owes the money to the...
Right, no, so that's the point.
That's the point.
Why is Shliach Shiach didn't make it to the Lishcha yet.
Right, he should be, right, if he didn't make it, and he should have been to the Shvuah to the Bnei Ayir. Right?
Exactly.
The fact that he's doing the Shvuah to the
Gizbar.
So the Gizbar, it shows that already, even that when the Torim here, whatever is on the way belongs already.
Exactly,
to them.
Right. Okay. So the Chuma has a very bilis over that which is coming in.
Right.
So that's how, again, Amar Rabbi Yossi, just read it again. Rabbi Simon, Asa, Kiman, Amar, Torman, Al Gavoy. They can do Chuma on that which has been collected on the way over. And even Val Hasid, Lagavos, and even that which is going to be collected this coming year. Biram, however, Kiman, Amar, Ain, Torman, Al Gavoy. But the one who says that Chuma only works for the funds that's actually in the base of Mikdash, and it doesn't work for that which is collected and that which is going to be collected, then our Mishnah does not go in accordance with that opinion.
Right, it's interesting that he wouldn't come up with a solution that the Shliach who's bringing it is Kone Mishum for the Hekdash.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, because the bottom line is that the Shliach is it a shliach to Bnei or is a shliach to the if a shliach to to the Mikdash, then he was already kohen and it's like he already collected it.
Right. So I mean,
so obviously it's only a shliach from Bnei Ayir and Mikdash wasn't kohen. But then in that case, then why does he have to do shvuah to the it's manashah? If he has to make a shvuah to the
So.
Then he means that he was kone because he's responsible towards.
So it's only kone once the chuma takes place, then the kinyan.
Yeah, but then why? Then he should have to make a shvua to the Bnei Ayir till he gets to the
to the. So actually gives it in. You're saying
right.
So it might have to do with the fact that when a person's makdish something, what's the lashon? Wherever the hektish is. The Gizbar gets control of it. I get Machdash in my backyard, they get control of it.
Okay.
So Machdashak isn't quite hektish, but I guess once a Chuma takes place, that in effect makes all the Machdashak has this form of. Okay. That you have to learn this Gemara well with the city of hektish. Fine. Tez the Gemara now, a few lines from the bottom. B'nei ha'ir sheshalchu ha'shikleim. So we're going on that stage of the Mishnah. Amar Rebbe Lazar, the Rebbe Shimon he. This goes according to Rebbe Shimon. The Rebbe Shimon Omer, Kodshim. Shehu Chaim Bachar Yuson Kinechosav Hain. So this is the lach. Normally we paskin that you can't make shvu on hektish. So Machta Shekel, we're calling it hektish. Now we're not getting to the whole sugya how much a hektish it is, but let's say it's hektish. Ain shvu on hektish. How you make?
Right here, yes.
So there's a opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says no, you can make a shvu on hektish on certain kachim that you're responsible to watch over, that if the karbanos don't end up being a shechtin and a nikrav, you have to bring another one, you would have to take a shvuah. So it's like your nechasim. In fact, I have a chrayos. Right, exactly. So the fact that I have a chrayos is viewed as my property, and my property, of course, I can't take shvuah on, therefore you can take shvuah in the case of machatz shekel. Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan divrei akoli. No. Even the Tanakhama who agreed that in general you do not take shvuah in any case of kachim, here they think you would take a shvuah. Mishum shuas takana. It was a din derabanan to make a shvuah.
Right here, according to the article, it's a very specific lesson. There, hare alai ola. Not it doesn't say hare beimazu ola.
Right, nether versus nedava. Nether is upon himself.
Right. So here he's doing a nether. So he's still chachras because the nether is on himself, not the ola, not on the ola.
And that turns into his own property, which he can't take a shvuah.
Right.
And Rabbi Yochanan says nothing to do. Even the Chacham who say
said Harei Ze Ola, then probably he didn't have to.
Exactly.
Because it became hektish.
Right.
That's it.
This animal's in a Nadava. If it gets lost, I'm exempt.
Right.
Okay. So two different reasons. And the reason for the Shvuah is to kind of why did Rabbi Yochanan say that the Chacham made you take a Shvuah, even though you normally don't take a Shvuah in hektish. So it explains here that otherwise they're going to be mazalzel behektishos. Ah, I lose it, I have to pay it. Ah, it's just hektish, not a big deal. So a person shouldn't think lightly of hektish. We make a Shvuah or we pay up the money. So Al Das, the Gemara continues two lines from the bottom. Al Das, the Rabbi Yochanan, Nicha, Nishbam, the Gimbizbarim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's all Takana Shua, makes sense to always make a Shua. If you you make a Shua to the Gizbarim, Vimlav, if not then to the Gizbarim, then Nishbam, the Bnei Ayir. Ubnei Ayir, Shokun, Achrem. It both makes sense, Tachtem. No matter how you slice it, whether you're making a Shua to the Gizbar, you're making a Shua to the Bnei Ayir, it makes a lot of sense, Mishum Shua, Takana. Because you have to just make sure that in the eyes of the Shliach, in the eyes of everybody else, that Hektish is something very serious. But according to Rabbi Elazar, who says the reason is because Rabbi Shimon, because the Achrayos, Nishban Livnei Ayir, Heir, Hada, that makes sense why you make a Shvua to the Bnei Ayir if the Chuma hasn't been taken yet. The Rabbi Shimon Nishban Ligizbarim, so fine, the Rabbi Shimon. Because if you don't, If you don't take a shur to the Bnei Yair, you have to pay back. It's a chraos. You have the responsibility of paying back the machzor shekel. So I understand why then you take a shavua. But nishban the gizbarim my avidasa. What do they do? It doesn't make any sense. Meaning, because once a chuma has taken place, so and if you got lost, we never said you have to pay back the money anymore. You're exempt from paying back the money. There's no achrayos anymore. There's no responsibility. If there's no achrayos, it can't be viewed as your nechasim. Then there's no need for a shavua. Why would, according to Rebbe Lazar, you ever have to take a shavua to the gizbarim? So explains the Gemara. So nishban, what does it mean? Nishban livnei ha'ir b'mayim ad gizbarim. No, you still take a shavua in front to the gizbarim. Sorry, take a shavua to the Bnei Ha'ir, who you're now being exempt from paying them the achrayos from, but it has to be in front of the maimed, in front of the gizbarim, so they shouldn't be choshed you for just not bringing the money. That, listen, you were sent on a message to go bring the money, but it got lost, and you're taking a shavua to testify the fact that it got lost. Inami, or alternatively, delo nishvulu poshim. They won't consider you a poshea, a negligent person. It's either that there's no chashad or there's no poshea. Seems to be very similar.
So towards Hekdesh, there's really no chiyuv of shavua.
Exactly.
It's just doing
in front of them.
Right.
In front of the treasurers, right.
Or just to be, right.
That's all on the premise of Shomer Chinam transporting it, right?
Or Shomer Sachar in the case of Listim Mizayin and. Right. Then the Gemara says, "Afa pi." I think within Rabbi Yochanan still, who says you make a shua because of din derabban on a takana. Afa pi shakiblu bnei ayir l'shalim ena hektesh yoti blo shua. Even though bnei ayir said, "Listen, I understand you really did us a favor by being the shliach, and things happen. Don't worry about it. We'll just pay the money. We'll collect the malchus shekel again." Nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you still have to make a shua because it's not about satisfying the Bnei Ha'ir. It's about, so it shouldn't look as anything light. You still have to make a shvua that it got lost or that it got stolen. Ein hekdesh yotzei blo shvua. Okay. New piece now.
Still not clear. צריך לשבע להקדש, אלא שלמיד המשנה שכל זמן שלא נתרמה הלשכה שבני העיר חייבים באחרית באחד השרים. הרי זה נשבע לבני העיר, הכוונה היא שאותה השבועה שהוא חייב על ההקדש מתקנת החמים, הוא נשבע אותה לבני העיר מפני שהם המפסידים בעבידה זו. אבל סוף סוף עניין השבועה הוא שאין שומר ההקדשות יוצא ידי ההקדש אלא בשבועה, לפיכך אין בני העיר בעלי right? They have no power to be mochel on it.
Okay. Sorry. 7 lines from the top now. Hifrish shkalo v'avid. You separate a shekel, my machz a shekel, I'm going to give it in, and then it gets lost. What's the halacha? Says Rabbi Yochanan Omar, chai b'achar yusso, you have to pay it back. Ad shem sirenu legizbar. You're responsible to pay your machiz shekel until it gets to the hands of the treasurer of the hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, hekdesh b'rishus hagavah b'chamachim. This is the line I was looking for. Wherever you are, once you're machiz a machiz shekel, it's viewed as the rishus hagavah. Wherever it is, the gavah has a karish baruch hu. The hekdesh has a hold of it, and then therefore you're pater. Masnisa pliga Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The brisa, the Mishnah argues in Reish Lakish, nishban livnei ayir. That you make a shvua to Bnei Ha'ir, and Bnei Ha'ir, you have to replace it with other ones. So clearly it sounds like it's not the gavoa. You have the responsibility to pay it up. Not only that, he mishum shvuas takana. He says, no, I think he responds, nah, that's not true. It's only reason why you take a shvua is because takana, din derabban, so it shouldn't be mezalza in the eyes of the people. But inachanami, mi'ikar din, fundamentally, you are exempt. When you say this is machas shekel, says Reish Lakish, it's the gavoas, it's hektish. I have no shekel anymore. It gets lost? Not my fault. So why are you taking a shvua? You're taking a shvua simply to satisfy, to make sure people don't think it's to mezalza hektishos.
So basically what we're saying is, according to the Mishnah, even if it was lost, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it was lost before they gave away the truma, like in no case he has to pay back to Bnei Ha'ir.
Exactly.
He's just chayav just to that it shouldn't be because of a takana.
Yep. It seems like a very fundamental machlokas about shkalim.
But he's basically following on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't say a second mandam.
Well, it's connected to the machlokas, the nature of the shvua. So when they're taking shvua, the shvua is simply a takana, which the Mishnah refers to, according to Rabbi. That's interesting, actually, because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about what to do with the lost coin here. So Reish Lakish is using Rabbi Yochanan's other statement that the shvua is a takana to help himself support his own opinion, in which he also argues Rabbi Yochanan himself thinks the shvua is a takana, but you're still required to pay when the shekel gets lost. Okay. So then says the Gemara, last brisa before the new Mishnah, Tani, Harishonim, so what's the case?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
According to this, the takana is not the shvua, the takana is that he has to pay back.
That's what the same
takana is? בכל מקום הוא ואין המקדיש חייב בחירותו. זהו רק מדין תורה. אבל למד את הקנה, that they make him pay.
So the question of Reish Lakish was...
They make who pay?
The שליח.
No,
the guy who lost
it. Where's the comment?
Yeah, number 12.
I separated a shekel. I lost it. I don't have to pay. But doesn't the Mishnah say, שקלין תחתן, you have to pay underneath it?
שיהיה התורם. Not the shaliach.
Well, the people of the Am, it's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's a takana because you could say.
Yeah. Don't say. Listen. Well, it's takana because they don't want them to take off responsibility. Oh, I gave mine. I'm sorry, it got lost. Everything is bet shamay movie. So don't think that if something happened, you know.
Right. So in the Torah, he's patur. Yeah. But they made the knas.
That he chayav lidon again.
That you have to pay again,
yeah.
Even though it already belonged to Hekdesh.
Okay. So now the Gemara addresses the case. What happens? You lost a bunch of coins, the Machs, the Shekel. You set aside new ones, and then you found the first ones. So now you have two sets. So what do you do with each bag of coins?
You found what was lost.
I found what was lost. Now I have two in front of me. So says the Gemara, Tanid, Harishonim, no from the Taklin Chadasim. The first ones fall to the new shkalim, the new funds. Vashni, and the second ones, Noflin, the Takan, Adi can go to the old funds. Now, unclear what's Rishon, what's Shani. What's the first ones, what are the second ones? That's Machlokas. Elu hein Rishonim, Elu hein Ashnim. Rabbi Pinchas, Bei Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Abba Mari, they both argue. And they doesn't say what, but according to the Masifta, they're arguing about what's considered Rishonim. Chad Amar, Elu Shashalach, Bnei'ir Tchila, the ones that they originally sent, those are called Rishonim, because those are the first ones that were set aside. Okay, they were lost. Now they're found, they're considered the Rishonim. Becharna, which we learned yesterday, Charna means the other one, Achayer, we said. The other one, Amar Elu Shegil Yade Gizbarn Tchila. No. Whichever one gets its way to the Gizbarn, whichever the treasurer reaches first, that's what Rishonim mean. Not necessarily the first ones that were set aside, but whatever makes its way to the Beis HaMikdash first.
Okay. Very interesting.
Halacha Beis of this Perek, new Mishnah, says, I know saying.
His Wednesday,
yeah. I know saying shkalo lechaver. A person gives a shekel to a sren lishkol ayado. He says, "Listen, you're going to Beis HaMikdash. Do me a favor. Here's a half a shekel. Please bring this on my behalf." So the guy says, "Vishakal ayday atzmi." He says, "I got a machzis shekel. I'm going to use it for myself. I'm not going to use it for my friend. I'm taking it for myself." He's out of luck. So what's the halacha? So shady, right? So he says, "Im nisrama chuma mal."
You're exposed to many bad things.
So if the truma was taken already, they started using the funds, so the shliach is mal. He violates meila. You can't steal from Hekdesh, because we said we didn't understand how this works, but once the truma takes place, once they start using the funds, wherever machetz shekel is, that becomes Hekdesh, and when you get any hana from Hekdesh, you get in violation of meila.
So again, this is not going to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish.
Exactly. This is according to Yochanan, and according to the Amar, that it's Chal and that which is Gavoy, Ve'asid L'Gavoy. So by putting these things together.
Okay,
so the money hasn't gotten there yet. My friend, I gave him my coin. He started taking the funds. My friend gives it on his own behalf, the shekel. He stole from Hekdesh, using my money for Hekdesh to pay off his chiyuv. He violates the Isser Me'ilah. Now, Hashokel Shiklo Min HaHekdesh. Let's say a guy takes a shekel from the Hekdesh funds. He sneaks his way into the Hekdesh funds, takes a machzor the shekel, and pays back. What?
Into the shofarot.
Right. The Nisramo Hachuma. And then what happens is, the Chuma had already started using the funds from the Chuma, and also the Kreva Behema, they also started bringing the first Behema of a carbon Tamid, let's say, or any other carbon Tzibur. Then he's Mal, only if that happens. In the first case, when you steal from his friend, once the Chuma has been taken, that's when the Mila kicks in. When it comes to taking money from the actual Hekdesh, you're not violating Mila until the funds were taken and actually used for carbon. Then the Gemara is going to explain that's the only time the Mila kicks in.
And before that, he's just Gneva.
I guess so. So then the Gemara says, last line says, Mimaisa Sheni,
it's funny.
Umidmei Shvis, Yochal Kenegdan. So what happens, let's say a guy takes, he has Maisa Sheni funds. He has to bring the money, ultimately bring it to Yerushalayim. Or he has Shvis. He used those monies to pay off his Chiv from Achzat Shekel, which you're not allowed to do. So what do you do then? So the halacha is Yochal Kenegdan. You eat corresponding to that. The Gemara is going to explain what that exactly means. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. A lot of new halachas, new concepts. So says the Gemara, Hashokel v'chulei onan taninan im kreva habehema. So our Mishnah says you only violate Me'ila once the animal has been makirv. V'tan, the baby Rebbe taught in the Brisa, im nisramo chuma. Simply if you did the chuma, if they start taking the funds, even though they haven't yet been makirv any animals.
You're really moil.
So this is just making a statement, I guess. This is a question, just a diuk. Okay, they're just pointing it out, though. I guess it's a question they're asking it. Okay, now let's skip the parentheses. We skip a few lines of the parentheses. Now, man tana im nisrama chuma, whose opinion says that all you need is to start using the funds and not necessarily bring an animal yet? That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He, the Amar Rabbi Shimon, miyad ha'imakaba ma'osa v'akonim zuizim heim. Because the karma is so zaris, we know the moment they take the funds that they're going to bring an animal with it. There's no concern that they're going to mess up. So in reality, everybody thinks it's all about when the animal has been brought. That's when the mila is going, the hekdesh is going to kick in. But Rabbi Shimon was so convinced that once the money was taken, there's not going to be a moment to go by without them actually bringing the animal. It's a vadai that the money will be used for karbanos. So again, the driving force is that once the carbon's been brought, that's when hekdesh kicks in, and a person takes from the funds, he violates hekdesh. So why does the Mishnah say only...
So we're talking about that let's say on the 15th of the first korban that they do or goes on with the new money,
right?
And they say that really it should be that from that moment on everything becomes hektish
after the first korban
right,
been brought.
But the fact that since there's rizim, even once this man comes, we say that.
Well, once they take the money from the funds,
right.
Moment alone, we view it as if there's no question about it, the animal will be brought. So hekdesh is chal then. Person who then goes to take money from the hekdesh is going to be... Again, the question is, when does the hekdesh chal on the machzor shekel? When I simply set a coin aside, forgetting Rish Lakish's opinion, I set a coin aside, it's still mine until it's used. Right. And even when it gets to the base of Migdash, it's not hekdesh yet. What is it, hekdesh? When I take money, I actually buy an animal to be makirv with. Okay. Taking the money alone has done nothing. Says Rabbi Shimon, we're so convinced that the karma is so zariz that when they take the money out, it's 100% certain that they're going to buy an animal. So the moment of taking the money alone is going to create a chalos hekdesh. Once that moment comes and a person takes money from the funds to pay for his own machzor shekel, he violates the Isser Me'ila. Then the Gemara says, v'kasha. This is a new piece again. Is going on the case of when a person, I give my friend the machzor shekel to bring it to Beis HaMikdash on my behalf. He ends up taking it for his own. So v'kasha, ilu ha-goniv olaso shel chavero, let's say I had an ola, and my friend stole my ola from me, a carbon that was supposed to be an ola. V'shachdu stam, the coin shechs it, stamo lo l'shem bailim, harishonim, mechaperes, when the coin shechs, the coin didn't say, oh, I'm going to check the animal for the person who brought it, he just shech stam. Whoever owns the animal, that's who's going to get kapara for it. So, here too also, that how does my friend have the right to, when I give my machzor shekel, how does he have the right to change what the purpose of machzor shekel is going to be for? I already set it aside for mine. He can't just take it and give it on his own. He doesn't have the right to do that. So Amar Rabbi Yudan Tifater, let's answer it b'misuyam. B'misuyam misha beis Rabban Gamliel. So it's a case of what they used to do in the house of Rabban Gamliel. Shahayom es kaven v'doch volotoch hakupa. So they would push their way in.
So what here is saying is basically that the guy who gave the shekel and not the guy who stole it should be yotze from the shekel.
Exactly.
Right?
Because you can't just take it away. You have to do a maisa usually to do a gneva. Right. There's no maisa here. He just brought it for me in my half. That's not a maisa that changed anything for him to get new ownership to it.
Right.
So Gemara said, no, this is going to be the case. Apparently in the base of Ragam Liel, they used to miskavein v'dochot, push their way in, latocha kupa. So they, when they brought Machzor Shekel, they didn't just give it to the funds and wherever it goes. They, Dafka, wanted to make sure when the first carbon tzibur was being taken from Machzor Shekel, they had to put it in that first group, that with that money that was being used, they wanted to make sure that their money went to buy the first carbon tzibur. They pushed their way in.
They would have nachat ruach from that.
Right. So this guy also, the shliach came in, he didn't just give it to the funds, he gave it dafkin away to make sure the first carbon tzibur is bought with this machzor shekel. Since he did something out of the ordinary, he did some type of maisa, he was kona this machzor shekel, and then that's how he violated the Isser Me'ilah. He took the other guy's coin. He didn't just stam put it, it wasn't a case of stam. It was with kavana.
So why is it Me'ilah?
It's Me'ilah.
Why is it Me'ilah if he's actually putting it for the Korban? He shouldn't be. He should be Gneva.
But it's not his.
But he gets his Na'ah from it. He's saying Hana that it shouldn't be getting. He's exempting himself from paying his Chov, Machzor Shekel. So you're getting Hana from Me'ilah, from Hekdesh. Right now he has an outstanding Chiv.
He's towards the friend, there's Gneva, and towards Hekdesh, there's Me'ilah.
Well, I'm not sure if his friend. The friend gets his. I think his friend's Yotze, probably. My guess is the friend would be Yotze. He gave his Chiv. Hekdesh was chal, it took chuma. Now I'm trying to take what's hekdesh now to fulfill my own chiv.
But you're not getting that, you're not being yotze.
But I can't be yotze because I can't use hekdesh for my own chiv. I have to use chulin for my own chiv. Once the monies have been taken for the new karbanos, it's viewed as hekdesh money. By me trying to exempt myself,
here. One second. I give you machatis shekel. So if you just give it plain, then you're not yotze because it's still mine. You didn't do any change. Okay. Now, the fact that you went and you put it directly to the korban, right? What does that do that makes you kone?
So
we're saying, because we had the same thing in Baba Metzia, I think one of the Baba, that somebody steals a behemoth, right? I think something like that. But okay, so the fact that you did it, you did a shinoi, then it's not mine anymore.
Well,
I'm not yotze anymore.
No, I still think you're yotze. I think the point is that. Let's see how that works.
If there is a Kenyan, that means that I'm not. Otherwise, it's one or the other. Or I'm Yotze and you're not Kone, or you're Kone and I'm not Yotze. Right?
Let's see. You're right. Okay, you're right.
That's
a bit,
right?
So maybe doing this shinoi,
you're kone.
The original guy is not yotze.
Right.
I'm kone.
Right.
But since it's already hektish, so
right. So not only are you kone, so not only you're gone, but you're also over meila.
Right. Okay.
So how come the first guy, the original guy that gave it, is not yotze?
Because his money, I was kone from him. I acquired it from the shinoi through changing it. I acquired it from him.
You're gonna from him, no
Konev. I know, I still, but you're right.
But if you learn about Metzia, the whole issue when you're Gonev, let's say, and you have to do Tashlim and Kefel, and it depends what it is, is the gun of Kone the what he stole, or he's just, it's still not his?
In regards to Achzarat HaKesef,
right,
but how, no, so that's an excellent question. How come the first guy, the innocent guy, is not Yotze? Because don't forget
the other guy stole it.
Said that, but whatever he gave it for Kurban, that money,
yes.
The Kurban goes to who?
To Shamayim.
Shamayim knows exactly what's going on.
No, yeah, but you should have been more careful to who you gave it, maybe. There's some kind of responsibility.
There's so much you can be careful, you know?
I know.
I'm going to try to get to do two dots, at least, dots, I guess.
Yeah, we're almost there.
So v'chash lomar, if I'm up to v'chash lomar now, I think.
Yes.
V'chash lomar, shemer li shiraim hei noflin. So let's see.
ברכה מילה המשנה של שליח ששינה ותרם את שילו של חברו לשם חובת עצמו מביא קורבן מעילה.
Was the house of Rabbi Gamliel concerned that's going to fall to Shiraim, that the money won't be used for the carbon tzibur? Why are they so specific? They wanted the dafka be in the first carbon tzibur. And furthermore, there's no mila in Shiraim. Maybe we should stop here because it is 7 o'clock already.
Okay,
fine. We'll pick this up tomorrow from this point.
Okay,
good.
These are very long, really.